Somebody yesterday asked a very important question as a direct follow-up to our conversation, and that was, we spoke 2 days ago about those who go on vacations and are supposed to go as part of their tour to see historical churches, whether or not they have a right to do so, and we spoke about how important it is that we stay away from such activities. Then the follow-up question to that was yesterday, Shir, who said that Christianity is even considered Avodah Zarah in the first place? You have to assume that it's Avodah Zarah in order to say one is not allowed to go into such a place. But that was a major discussion amongst the Ramah and the Nodibi Yehuda and many other great Gedolei HaAchronim, whether or not we assume that Christianity is considered to be Avodah Zarah for them. After all, they do believe in the same God that we do. It's a monotheistic religion. But they believe, as we say in Shituf, they believe that there are other partners along with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And therefore, that was the major debate amongst the Gedolei HaAchronim, whether or not we consider that to be in Oved Avodah Zarah. The question that somebody asked yesterday was, at the end of the shir, what about entering a Muslim mosque? What about entering their house of worship? Should that be considered to be on the same level as a church, or perhaps that would be a little bit different? And this, too, is discussed amongst the Gedolei HaRishonim. The Chidushi HaRan in Masechet Sanhedrin writes the following, Lamadnu Mikan. This has to do with the sugya there in Sanhedrin Samach Aleph Amud Beis, but the Ran comments on that Gemara. Lamadnu Mikan, we learn from here, Shehakodshim Shel HaGoyim. If you have a offering that was brought by one of the other religions, Vigam, says the Ran, and also, not only if it was brought by one of the nations of the world, but also he says, Vigam HaMashuga Shel HaYishma'elim. He's referring to Muhammad. He refers to him as Hamashuga Shel HaYishma'elim. Afal pi she'enam toim achareim la'asosem elohus. Even though nobody worships that messenger, nobody worships that person, they believe that he was a messenger of God. Mikol makom ho l'mishtachavim lifneim hishtachavo shel elohus. Since they pledge their allegiance to such an individual, din avodah zarah yesh lahem l'chol davar. Says the Ran, as far as we're concerned, that has a status of an Avodah Zarah. And even though this person is only believed to be a messenger of God himself, but ultimately we believe in the Ribono Shel Olam, says the Ran, that's not good enough. That is mamash Avodah Zarah, because you pledge your allegiance to somebody other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore that would be a problem. Ki lo lihidr bulvad mishtachavim lifneihem. This that they put their allegiance forth is not just that they're doing it to be nice. They actually mean to serve those religions, and therefore he says they have no right to be considered people who actually believe in God. This is considered to be a real Avodah Zarah. And the same discussion is found in the Me'iri, as we said yesterday, Maseches Avodah Zarah. And there, the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah goes through many different halachos about interactions between Jews and non-Jews, and when we have to be concerned of such things, writes the Me'iri there, Yishma'elim halalu. What about the Muslims who live in our community? Yesh misha omer aleim she'enam ovdei Avodah Zarah. Writes the Me'iri, there are those Rishonim who believe that they are not really considered to be ovdei Avodah Zarah. After all, they do believe in the same God that we do. Umikal Makum, says the Me'iri, Chachmei Svarad Cholkim Ba. It's not so clear. Many of the Chachmei Svarad, many of the Gedolei HaRishonim feel that they are considered to be ovdei Avodah Zarah for all intents and purposes, and therefore the Me'iri writes, whatever would apply to a bona fide Oved Avodah Zarah would apply to them as well. As we mentioned yesterday, the Rambam categorically rejects that. And the Rambam says in Hilchos Machalas Asuros, as we said, when we're talking about Stam Yenam, when we're talking about a non-Jew who handles the wine of a Jew, so we know that we have Exera Durabanan, that we're not allowed to use such wine, but says the Rambam, Kol Goy She'eno Oved Avodah Zarah, what if you have a non-Jew who doesn't believe in our religion, but he's also not an Oved Avodah Zarah? What is the status of the wine that he will handle, that he will touch? Is that considered to be Stam Yenam or not? Says the Rambam, what am I referring to when I say, a Goy She'eno Oved Avodah Zarah? The Rambam writes very clearly, Kagon Elu HaYishma'elim. Like the Muslim, says the Rambam, that's called a non-Jew who doesn't serve Avodah Zarah. Yenam Aser B'Shtiyah U'Mutar B'Hanah. Says the Rambam, that wine is Mutar B'Hanah. Because after all, they're not real Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And the Rambam then repeats this once again, not only there in Hilchos Machalas Asuros, but he writes it also in the Tshuvas HaRambam, where he says the following. And he explains in great detail how he got to his position and why he believes this is the case. Why should we draw a distinction between a Christian who is an Ovid Avodah Zarah, and a Muslim who considered a non-Ovid Avodah Zarah. Says the Rambam, Elu ha-Yishma'elim einam Ovdei Avodah Zarah klal. Says the Rambam, these Muslims are not considered to be Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Ukvar nichrusam mipihem umilibam. After all, the Rambam says, if you listen to them speak, and you understand the language that they talk, hemi yachadim la'el yis'ale yichud karoi. They pledge allegiance to the Ribono Shel Olam, to God. They believe in the same God that we do. And therefore, he says, it's a yichud she'ein bo dofi. They have no questions about the fact that that is the right God. Ve'ein lohem toz klal b'yichud Hashem. Therefore, the Rambam says, I've come to the conclusion that they are not considered to be Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They are considered to be non-Jews. And therefore, the Rambam says, because they're non-Jews, but not Ovdei Avodah Zarah, we would say that their wine would not be Aser B'Hana. Question in the back. Yeah. Yeah.
He's very involved with the Arabs.
Right.
The Muslims. So, I don't know how long we're going to be trained. There has to be an idea that if we're working with certain people, that certain times you make an exception. Maybe that's what he's talking about.
Okay, that's something that we mentioned yesterday. Under certain conditions, maybe there should be a difference.
Today you have all the Christians giving tons of money to Israel. I mean,
it's a big question. The Christians who give money to Israel, it's a big question whether or not we have a right to accept it. So it's a very controversial issue that's been debated by the greats of our generation, but it's not a simple issue. Let me just make one thing very clear, and that is, although it's true that the Rishonim dispute whether or not Yishma'elim, whether or not Muslims are considered to be Ovdei Avodah Zarah, let us make no mistake. The Binyan Sion, Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, who lived in Germany, one of the great Gedolim at the time, I think he was the Rebbe of Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch, either he was the Rebbe or the Talmud. He was the Rebbe, I think, of Rav Hirsch and of Rav Azriel Hildesheimer, I believe.
Yes.
So he was a great Torah personality, and the Binyan Sion writes in one of his tshuvas, Simon Samach Gimel, he talks about a community where they had the Rashi Beis HaMedrash, Nidchaku Liknos Lahem Bayis LaBeis Medrash. They didn't have an opportunity to find a property where they can actually have a Beis Medrash. And this was a problem, because there was a new neighborhood opening up, and every neighborhood needs to have a Beis Medrash, needs to have a place where people can learn, people can daven. And the problem was, the only place they were able to go was a location that was originally built as a house. After it was used as a house, it then was bought by Kohane Ha'umos She'ovdim Avodah Zarah B'Shituf, where they had Christians who came in and whatever they did there, and they used to pray in this location. So it wasn't built originally as a church, but it was used at some point as a church, and then for whatever reason, the community was not interested in using that purpose anymore. Either they needed a bigger location or a smaller one, and now they wanted to sell it to the Jewish community in Germany to see whether or not they could use it as a Beis Medrash. So people were very uncomfortable. How can we use this as a Beis Medrash? On the one hand, it served as a church. On the other hand, it was originally built as a house. So what is the status? They sent a Shaila to the Binyan Sion, and he writes, in the middle of discussing the whole issue about whether or not Shituv is considered Christianity, whether it's considered Avodah Zarah, whether it's not, in the middle of it he says, regardless of what you hold as to the status of a Christian, says the Binyan Sion, make no mistake that as far as a Jew is concerned, this is considered absolute Avodah Zarah. When we say Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, it means you believe in the authenticity of God, you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one and only. There are no messengers, there are no partners. We as Jews are certainly not allowed to accept the position of Shituv. That's certainly off limits. And the Lashon that he says is, Masha b'nei Noach eina mitzuvim ala Shituv. Yes, it might be true that they might not be violating the law of Avodah Zarah. However, he says, Lo mahani sharei Yisrael nitztavu. The Jewish people were commanded, Va'akati l'gabi Yisrael mikri Avodah Zarah mamish. As far as we're concerned, this is absolute Avodah Zarah. The only question we have here is, as far as their Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, when it says that they're not allowed to serve Avodah Zarah, does that include somebody who believes in God, but also believes that God has partners? Is that also considered a part of it? Or would we say, no, they're still considered to be non-Ovdei Avodah Zarah. But as far as we're concerned, says the Binyan Sion, there's no suffix that a Jew who believes in God plus anything else is considered an absolute Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And therefore, the Kleuzenberger Rebbe writes so beautifully in one of his tshuvas, where he says, Mama od koev libi. He says, it pains me so much that I see kama charedim shekorim limizgadei ha-yishma'elim batei tfila o'makam kadosh. He says, how do you talk about a mosque with adoring terms? He said, how can you talk positively about such a place? After all, he says, Be'emes, Shatzrichim Ligdar Gether Ulis, Ameitz, Be'yeser, Se'es, Be'yeser Oz. He says, Adarabba, in my opinion, says the Kleuzenberger Rebbe, You have to be even more careful when you have a religion that believes in the same God. When you have a religion that doesn't bow down to an idol, there are people who might make a mistake and say, it's not so bad. It's not so bad. After all, they just believe in God plus. And therefore, he says, we have to be even more careful that we shouldn't get near such a religion. We shouldn't visit their places, and it's absolutely imperative, forgetting about what the Binyan Sion writes, that for us, it's certainly considered to be Avodah Zarah as far as a Jew is concerned. But even outside of that, he says, we need to be so careful to make sure that we stay very far away from this, because after all, it's very easy for people to get confused. After all, we believe in God, they believe in God, all the same God. And let us not make any mistake that there is a major difference between the way we view the world and our religion and the way many other religions view their relationship with God as well. So now we get to a major discussion, which is as follows. After 1967, when the Israeli army was successful in capturing not only Yerushalayim, but also the city of Hebron and a number of other locations, so a major dispute broke out as to whether or not we even have a right to enter the Ma'aris HaMachpelah and to daven there. What was the question? The question was, after all, in Parshas Va'era, we're told the following. Moshe Rabbeinu is there in Mitzrayim. He's negotiating back and forth with Paro about all the different makos that were about to happen. Some of them took place, some of them he warns Paro in advance, and now all of a sudden, Paro comes running out to Moshe and he says, Hatiru, you have to daven because this is getting out of control, we can't handle this. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Vayomer elav Moshe, Kitseisi es ha'ir, Ephros has kapa el Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, I'll pray for the Egyptian community. I'll make sure that God takes this away. But you're going to have to wait for me. I'm going to have to leave Mitzrayim. And I will offer a prayer outside of the confines of the city. Why? Why did he have to leave the city? If Paro is asking you to do him a favor, are you only trying to delay him? You want him to suffer more? Is that why Moshe Rabbeinu said that? Kitseisi, I'll take my time. Wait till I leave the city and then I'll decide whether or not I'll offer a tefillah. No, says Rashi, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want them to suffer. Rather, Moshe Rabbeinu realized, Aval b'soch ha'ir Moshe lo hispalel, inside of the city, Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to offer a tefillah. Why? Because it was ha'isa malea gilulim, because it was full of Avodah Zarah. Everywhere you go, everywhere you went around the city, there was Avodah Zarah. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu said, I can't offer a tefillah here. After all, this place is so infused, it's so saturated with Avodah Zarah, it's not proper to offer a tefillah here. So what we learn from that is that if you have a place which is saturated with Avodah Zarah, you're not allowed to offer a tefillah there. And that's why there was a major dispute amongst the Gedolim in 1967. Does the Jewish community themselves have a right to offer a tefillah Ma'aris HaMachpelah? So now we all know everybody goes. But at the time, this was a major question because for hundreds of years, the Ma'aris HaMachpelah was used as a mosque. And even if you go now, you see many symbols on the walls that are painted from the last few, I don't know how long that's been there, but you see many symbols, Arabic symbols on the walls, and they were obviously not painted by our own brothers, they were painted by the Arabs, and that's because this served for them as a base of Avodah Zarah. This was their place where they used to serve their religion. So the question became, do we now have a right to go back to a place which started off being ours? They stole it from us in the interim. They made it into a mosque. Now we want to convert it back into a Beis HaKnesses, into a Makom Kaddish, into a Beis HaMedrash. We want to daven there. We want to offer all kinds of tefillos. We want to go visit the Avos HaKadoshim. Do we have a right to do that? After all, we're going into a place which served for hundreds of years as a Beis Avodah Zarah Mamish. After all, says the Binyan Sion, as far as we're concerned, that is certainly considered to be Avodah Zarah. And this is discussed by many great Gedolim. It will be surprising to us, I'm sure, that the Stipler, in the official biography of the Stipler, they write that he was very concerned about this, and he said that he didn't think it was appropriate to go visit the Ma'aris HaMachpelah. Now, obviously, his opinion has not been accepted, and the opinion that we all have adopted is that we do go visit, and the basic argument that they give is that how could it be that we had a shul for so many generations, that we had a place where we offered so many tefillahs, and there's so much meaning behind all of those stones there, behind everything that you see in Ma'aris HaMachpelah. Now you're going to tell me someone comes along, decides to take our holiest place and make it into a base of Avodah Zarah, and that is going to take away our opportunity to have a right to daven there? How can that be? How can that be? Ain't all the mosa davar she'ena shalo. The Gemara says we have a rule that I don't have the ability to make something usher if it doesn't even belong to me. Let's say, for example, I walk into someone else's house and I look at something that's on the table and I say, I want this bag of potato chips to belong to the Beis HaMikdash. It's Hegdash. You don't have a right to eat it. I don't have a right to make your property Hegdash. It doesn't belong to me. I walk into your house and I say, I want to give away your couches to the purposes of Har HaBayis, of Hekdesh. Who are you to do that? It doesn't belong to you. So many Achronim argued that we have the same argument here. This was our place. It was our Beis HaKnesses. It belongs to us. Did they steal it from us and turn it into a Beis Avodah Zarah? Perhaps. And that's very tragic and that's terrible. But they don't have the ability to take that which belonged to us and destroy it for our purposes and now take away our ability to use it for what we originally intended it for. That would be something that perhaps would be a violation of Ein Adamosa Darashena Shalom. That, together with a number of other factors, were the very important issues that were raised in 1967. But again, this is something that we need to think about as people are going on vacation. If they have plans to go and visit one of those kinds of locations, whether it's to the Christian religion or to the Muslim religion, any of their holy places of worship are places that we need to stay away from. After all, that is what we're taught by the Gedolei Achronim. It's what we spoke about yesterday, the Shach quotes from the Rambam. And it's something that we have to be very careful about. Like the Kleuzenberger Rebbe warns us, he says, specifically with those monotheistic religions that believe in the same God that we do, we have to be even doubly as careful because, after all, it's so easy for a Jew to make a mistake and not really clearly understand the major distinction that lies between the way we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the way, Rachmana Litzlan, many other religions choose to serve their own gods.